Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Election College, Episode 56, The 22nd Amendment. The United States is tired of having the same old presidents, so we make a new rule to get rid of them.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Jason, you ever, let's not get too political here, but have you ever had a president in office that you weren't terribly fond of?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody probably has had one at some point. So wouldn't it be great if there was some rule in place or something that could limit how long they could serve?
Yeah, that sounds good when I don't agree with the president.
Oh, right. What about when you do agree with the president?
Well, then it sucks.
Right. Ugh. Well, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves here. We spent a lot of time talking about the election of 1948 in the last episode. And we're going to go back in time just a little bit, kind of, because we're going to talk about the 22nd Amendment. And the 22nd Amendment was actually passed by Congress, and we'll talk about what it is here in a minute, in 1947. But some other things don't happen until 1951, so it's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal to amend the Constitution, and This was kind of a big deal. For those of you who don't know, the 22nd Amendment to the United States Constitution basically sets forth a limitation on how long a person can hold the office of the president of the United States.
Right. And a lot of people think that when George Washington decided to not run for a third term, even though, let's face it, he could have easily won, they think that he was maybe placing some kind of, I don't know, limit, unofficial limit on things. In reality, he said it was just because he was getting old.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nicolas Cage just found something. And
yeah, Nicolas Cage somewhere. Just found something last week on the back of the Constitution.
So Washington is like, hey, I'm old and I'm not going to run for president. And that's the reason, okay? I'm old.
Yeah.
And then 9 years later, TJ, remember him?
I do remember TJ.
Yeah. So Thomas Jefferson is like, you know what? It's 1807. I'm getting up there in years. He said, quote, if some termination to the services of the chief magistrate be not fixed by the Constitution or supplied by its practice, his office, nominally 4 years, will in fact become for life. So Jefferson recognized that, hey, it's kind of good to have a limit, and I'm choosing to step aside.
Yeah, and then along comes James Madison and also James Monroe, and they could have probably easily gotten a third term, and they both step out after two terms. And then, quite a few years later, Andrew Jackson comes along and does the same thing. So there's like a whole bunch of people who decide, no, I'm only running for two terms. There's also a few people who decide they want to try to serve for three terms, and they just don't get elected.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of funny because we didn't delve too much into the ins and outs of the actual presidencies of some of these people who we've been talking about, because this is an election podcast, not necessarily a presidential term podcast, although it possibly could turn into something like that in the future. But up to this point, we've been just talking about the election. So U.S. Grant, you know, the guy on the $10 bill. Uh-huh. He wasn't a very good president. And he's like, hey, I think I'm going to run for a third term. And he seeks the Republican nomination, but he loses to Garfield.
It's crazy because it's hard now. Like, it's really hard, from what I understand, to not get your party's nomination if you're the current president.
Right.
But in, back in the day, that wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah. And so Grover Cleveland, he's like, hey, I've been president before, and I know what it's like to lose, and I know what it's like to come back. But he loses all his support when he tries to go for a third term. So struck down again.
Yeah. Then you've got Teddy Roosevelt. He becomes president when William McKinley is assassinated. And then he gets elected in 1904 for his full term. And then he decides, I think I want to run for another term in 1912. Which, you know, it wouldn't be like a consecutive term, but he comes back later, but he loses. And so, there's another one that tried, but didn't make it.
Yeah. That's what happens when you try to split the party. I guess not try. You just do it.
Right.
So Woodrow Wilson, he tried to run for a third term, and he did so by deadlocking the Democratic National Convention in 1920. He actually blocks the nomination of his son-in-law, remember, William Gibbs McAdoo?
Yep.
He's the front runner. He's like, hey, son-in-law, check this out.
Do you think that was like part of the reason he did it was just because he's like, well, you married my daughter, so.
There you go.
You can't be president.
So then we have FDR, and my goodness, he really turned the country around, or at least he's credited with turning the country around. And we talked a little bit about that in several of our episodes, that each time he went for a term beyond his second, there was some opposition just by virtue of the fact of, hey, you shouldn't run for president more than twice.
It's like everybody's like, hey, you can't do that. That's against the law. And then they're like, well, okay, actually, it's not against the law, but you're still not supposed to do it.
Right. So, in FDR's case, that stability the nation was really looking for, they got it. And here we find ourselves. We're in the late 40s and something needs to be done.
So FDR, he gets elected not once, not twice, not three times, but four times for president. And we know that's twice as many as anyone else has ever actually been elected for. Not more than they've tried for, but more than they've been elected for. And so towards the end of the 1944 election cycle, Thomas Dewey comes forward and he's like, hey, we have got to do something about this constitution we have. People aren't respecting our elders, and we've got to put something in place that limits term limits.
Yeah, so he channels Thomas Jefferson. He says, four terms or 16 years is the most dangerous threat to our freedom ever proposed. So the Republicans, they're wielding a little bit of power for the first time because of that 1946 midterm election where they took over the House and the Senate. They propose the 22nd Amendment in March of 1947.
Yeah. Why don't I go ahead and read that and we can discuss it. I mean, I hope that's not too boring for people, but the 22nd Amendment reads, no person shall be elected to the office of president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president, which that's a tricky one right there, for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected, shall be elected to the office of president more than once. And then, of course, it goes on to say that if you're president when this article is proposed by Congress, this doesn't apply to you. It's like, well, what happens? I mean, this is just what goes through my mind. What happened if at that point the country just kept electing the same person? Would they have been able to run forever?
Yeah, Truman could be the president right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to go past his age limit, but that's an alternative history kind of discussion I guess we could have.
The 22nd Amendment. It flies through the Republican House and the Republican Senate. And 4 years later, in February of 1951, you had enough states ratifying the amendment for its adoption. So Harry S. Truman does a little fist bump and says, this is awesome because I'm totally exempt, as we mentioned before, but we haven't talked about 1952's election yet. So
right.
we'll just leave it at that.
we'll keep you on the hook for that one, I suppose. You have to listen next Tuesday to hear about that one. But Jason, it's kind of funny because we just kind of played around at the beginning of the episode about how if you don't like the president, it's great that he's gone in no more than 8 years. If you do like the president, it sucks. So there have been like numerous attempts at repealing the 22nd Amendment.
So over and over again throughout our recent history, there are people who have tried to do away with the 22nd Amendment, and that includes several congressmen, including Representative Barney Frank and Representative Jose Serrano and a couple other representatives and a senator, namely Harry Reid.
Uh-huh.
And even Senator McConnell has introduced legislation to repeal the amendment.
And we're looking at both sides of the aisle here, Jason. I mean, Democrats and Republicans have come forward trying to pull this thing back. Even President Reagan, after he got out of office, announced that he wanted to try and fight for the amendment to be repealed. Unfortunately, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and a lot of those things that he had planned to do post-presidency kind of had to be put on hold for his health. But it is interesting that people on both sides of the spectrum of politics, I guess you could say, have been in favor of at least seeing what it would look like if you repealed this amendment.
Yeah. I honestly don't know, because it seems like president after president who has been elected to a second term hasn't been as good as their first term.
Right.
It just seems like that history, at least recent history, has repeated itself again and again and again.
Right. And I mean, in recent history, the argument would be, well, they know they don't have to please anybody because they can't get elected again anyway, which isn't true. I mean, they can't get elected again, but they should be pleasing people. And there are benefits to doing that, of course. But there's like no way to know, at least in recent history, if people had the opportunity to have a third term, if the second term would be bomb.
Right. So it's kind of interesting because there are some points of contention with the 22nd Amendment and our good friend, the 12th Amendment.
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
Yeah. So that was our one political statement that we came out with as being very decisive that we were pro 12th Amendment. And the 12th Amendment says that, quote, no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of the president shall be eligible to that of the vice president of the United States. So that would play itself out in some unique ways. One unique way would be this year. And let's say Hillary Clinton wins the Democratic nomination. And she says, hey, you know what would be really cool? If Bill Clinton would be my vice presidential candidate, doesn't that sound like a good idea?
Jason, no one knows who Bill Clinton is yet. We haven't gotten there.
Oh, well, let's just say that a former first lady runs for president and she decides to have her husband, who was the president for two terms, be her vice president. What would happen?
Yeah. I think a lot of people would say that's unconstitutional, but a lot of people would say that's semantics. They'd still be eligible. So I think greater minds than ours have to figure that out. Probably the Supreme Court, if it ever comes down to needing to figure that out. But it's certainly a point of contention.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that the Constitution doesn't restrict the number of terms a person can serve as VP. So you turn 35 years old, and then you could just be vice president for the rest of your life if you were nominated and the person nominating you wins.
I think the reason that there's no term limit on it is because the people who wrote all the amendments and stuff were like, nobody's going to want to be vice president longer than 8 years anyway. We don't need to worry about this one.
Right.
They'll either die or be assassinated. That's what happens to vice presidents.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it is.
Thankfully, we're in the 21st century and we have a better track record with life. So that's the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
There you go. Everything you ever needed to know.
And it's there. It's written into law. If you ever have a chance to look at the Constitution and you see that it's handwritten and starting to fade, well, you can look at the 22nd Amendment because it's not that old, and you can see the beautiful typeface and all that. So there's still a few states who have not even paid attention to the amendment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting to me as well. It's like, okay, guys, it's law now. You could just say something about it.
Yeah. So, hey, Arizona, Kentucky, Rhode Island, Washington, and West Virginia, what's up with that?
Yeah.
And if you're from Oklahoma or Massachusetts, you're like, we reject this.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know why. I mean, I know why you would disagree with it, but I think that both of those states at the time, it would have favored them and their political stance as a whole. I'd have to look at that to be 100% certain, but anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe someday down the road, Nicolas Cage will find something on the back of the Constitution that says this is debunked or something. If you have opinions about the 22nd Amendment one way or another, and you want to let us know about them, it'd be great if you just shout it out to us on Twitter or Instagram or even Facebook. And you can find us at all those places at Election College.
Yeah, and we get more giddy than a presidential candidate when they find out they are eligible to run for president when we get a review from you. So head over to iTunes. You can use our shortened link, which is electioncollege.com/review. And you can easily get there. Give us a star rating and a review. We really appreciate it.
We absolutely do. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next time.
We'll see ya.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.